Welcome to season 4 of the Brave Writer podcast, A Brave Writer's Life in Brief. I'm Julie Bogart, your host. This season, we are releasing via audio our most popular YouTube broadcasts. We're so excited that you can now listen to these on audio while you're running, driving in the car, or folding laundry. We will also sprinkle throughout this season original content, interviews with people I think are compelling to listen to. If you get a chance, please help us out by leaving a review at iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to Brave Writers podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps us get the word out, and it also gratifies all the people behind the scenes who work so hard to bring these to you for free. And now, let's get going with this episode. Today, I wanted to just talk about what I've noticed. You know, I kind of pay attention to the zeitgeist going on in homeschooling. And I've been tooling around the interwebs, Facebook group, Instagram, emails, and I've noticed everybody's looking for the magic pill, the silver bullet, the one thing that's going to transform it all into this engine of homeschool goodness without any, you know, slowing down or stopping or breakdowns. It's like, maybe if I just collected enough wisdom in a bottle and then I sprinkled it on the heads of my children, our homeschool would be flawless. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've noticed, for instance, that people watch, let's say, all of my YouTubes, and there's over 200 videos now of me talking just like this to you. But I've noticed that people will have listened to and watched my podcasts, YouTubes, heard me on Facebook Live, and they build in their imagination like this utopian homeschool, which of course I want you to have. I'd love you to just move to homeschool Shangri-La and never leave. But here's the crazy thing. We all bring our own personalities, family dynamics, and information that we've collected to the table, and then we try to implement it. And our children, who I love to call free radicals, they're going to react to it with their own point of view, their own personalities, their own dynamics. And so even if you come and take a Brave Writer class that we have carefully packaged just for you, and we've trained our teachers to do an amazing job, and they do the best job they can. You know, they're human beings too. Sometimes they have a crisis or they get sick or they overload their schedule just like you do. They're doing the best they can. You're doing the best you can. And what we're aiming for isn't perfection. We're aiming for progress. We're not aiming for perfect. We're aiming for progress, for that sense that we can do a little better because we have a little bit more information. So whether it's a program, an instructor, a Facebook group, an interaction on Instagram, I mean, I work so hard to respond to personal communications. I don't like to leave anyone hanging. My team works really hard to deliver the top quality information that they think is going to help your homeschool grow. And you're out there piecing together all the different programs, something for math, something for science, you're following certain Instagram accounts, you're incorporating more reading aloud, you're adding poetry tea times. And sometimes there's still a missing ingredient and you can't put your finger on it, right? You can't put your finger on it. You're like, why isn't this the utopia that it looked like when I saw that picture on Instagram? Or I listened to Julie and I was so inspired and I just thought, if I just offer this, it's going to make the difference. It's because every single day is a little bit different. Some days, even when you pull out the best inspiration you've had, it falls flat. And other days where you started out uninspired and nothing seemed to be going right, a switch will flip and everybody is suddenly plugged in and learning and you're happy. That's just the nature of living, and homeschool mirrors our typical life experience. Life is variable. And your children are like that. There are days when you just cannot get them on the same page as you, where they are causing you discomfort. Or perhaps your good intentions cause them discomfort. I remember trying to get us to do poetry tea time some days because I needed it. And they were so engrossed in Legos, and me pulling them out of that engrossment meant that they weren't excited about poetry tea time. And you know how they paid me back for that discomfort? Picking at each other, not liking the poems, complaining about the treats. My kids, who usually wanted to do poetry tea time 4 days a week. Because sometimes my own vision of happiness was supplanting happiness that was already occurring. I just wasn't tuned in. I wasn't in the wavelength. I wasn't seeing that they were already happily engaged. I was trying to take care of my need to prove to myself that homeschool was going on. Have you ever done that? You know, everybody's happy. Everybody's doing something meaningful, but you're not sure it counts. So you try to like slip in there with some homeschool project. One of the things that we introduced is the 7-day writing blitz, which you can find out about that on the homepage of the Brave Writer website, bravewriter.com. And it's a 7-day free download. Like each day, there's a different activity of writing. And most of our families have just absolutely loved it. It's catalyzed so much goodwill and energy for writing and enthusiasm. And kids who were not even willing to pick up a pencil are now suddenly scrawling all over the place. But not every kid. Because some kids are suspicious that their mom is trying to trick them into liking writing, and they, by golly, are not going to like it. Or they feel pressure. It's like, here's all this freedom, and they're not used to freedom. And so they get overwhelmed and resistant and willful about it. Like, well, but I don't know what book to read, and I don't know which passage to pick, and I don't know what pencil to use. And those parents get exasperated. They thought they were bringing this magic bullet. You know, the magic wand, the thing that was going to change writing. And their kids are throwing up the same fits they've been throwing up every other time. All that means is there's more detective work to do. That the program itself isn't the issue. It's the connection with your child. It's the sense of family. You got to get behind the resistance. It's not always will. It's not always laziness. In fact, it's pretty much never laziness. It's usually that there is some meaningful piece hidden from your view, some unwillingness they have to risk. And that unwillingness to risk comes from somewhere. It's not innate. Most children are interested in some level of risk because they don't have enough history with failure to be nervous. And that's why you see babies walking right off of steps, or, you know, when Noah was 13 months old, he saw a pool, he just walked right into it fully clothed. Didn't even pause, just walked right off the edge of the sidewalk straight into the pool. And then I jumped in fully clothed and pulled him out. He didn't know to wait and look and think about whether to go in. Most kids have some willingness around risk. If your kids are holding back, afraid of risk, well, there's a reason for that. And we have to do the detective work. It's not only about having a better program. How can you make their lives better? How can you create a context where they're more willing? And that takes time to ascertain. You know, if your child's in a writing class that you signed him up for that he didn't know about, his level of interest in that class is not going to be high just because the teacher says nice things and creates a great program, because that child hasn't bought in. We want our kids to buy in, and they don't buy in just because we find better materials. You know, you're spending all this time researching. You're talking like this online, and you're going on Instagram, and you're getting all these great homeschool tips, and you curate this great experience. If your kid is resisting, you have to find out what's behind it. And sometimes what's behind it is simply they weren't a part of the process that led to this moment. They haven't heard you talk about how you're changing your thoughts about writing. So if they've only ever done a very structured writing program and then suddenly you tell them there's freedom, why would they believe you? They're used to this structure. They're used to being hemmed in. They think if they take you at your word that spelling doesn't matter for this one project, you're lying. They think you're secretly testing them. They don't have language for all that. They don't understand that you really mean it this time because all their experience tells them something else. So all you can do is start disclosing. And I like to tell parents all the time, let your kids in on your homeschool research. Don't just do it hidden from view. Do it right in front of them. You know, get your phone out and go, oh my gosh, there's this great hashtag right now about Brave Writer Teens, and people are saying some really funny things. Did you know that some parents only talk to their kids by text message? What would happen if I texted you? Would you think that was weird? Let them in on it. You know, I was reading about this great idea for writing. It's a writing blitz. Every day has a different idea. Do you want to take a peek and tell me what you think of it? I'm curious to hear what you think. Get them in on the research. Let them not like something you liked. Let's say you show them the writing blitz and they're like, I like 3 of the days, but 4 of them seem stupid. Could you just do 3 days then? Say, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe 4 of those days are stupid. Let's just skip those. We're going to just do the 3 you liked. Start including their opinions about their own experience and give them the opportunity to tell you their truth.
You're listening to the Brave Writer podcast. Did you know that Brave Writer has online writing classes for you and for your kids? That's right. Some of our classes are actually for you, the parent. We help you learn how to coach your children in the act of writing. We also have family classes where you can sign up for a class like Playing with Poetry or Shakespeare Family Workshop or Groovy Grammar. You pay one price and all your kids are enrolled in the class together. And then we have our individual writing classes where we help your kids get an experience of writing for another audience, their peers, and their instructor. There's no video, there's no required login time. We work on the same kind of strategy that you're used to with other social media like Facebook. You post when it's convenient to you, you go about your day, you come back, and the responses are waiting for you to read when it's convenient. Brave Writer's classes last anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks in length so that you can make a small, deep dive commitment and still get to that select soccer tournament or go ahead and give birth to that baby without it interfering with your semester-long writing class. So if you're interested in learning more about our writing program, go to bravewriter.com/onlineclasses. Be sure to read the About page so you understand how the classes work. And then you can just click on any of the lovely tiles that will give you a sense of what each of our classes offer. We have creative writing classes like Write for Fun and Spinning a Folktale. And we have hardcore academic high school classes like the MLA Research Essay and the Expository Essay. Whatever your writing need, I'm pretty sure we cover it. So check us out. Our classes usually fill quite quickly. We do still have spaces left in this semester, so go find out what's available, and I hope you'll join us soon for a writing class. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
You know, one of the things that's challenging about being a business owner is that customers will tell me what they really think. They all have great ideas. They send me their ideas all the time. We don't even always have the capacity to implement at the rate of all these good ideas. And I get customers who are dissatisfied, who don't like things. If I treated the customers the way we often treat our kids, I wouldn't have a business. If I just said, well, that's stupid. I mean, we put all this heart and work into this. How can you tell me that didn't work for you? Maybe you're doing it wrong. Can you imagine? What kind of business would we have if that's our approach to complaints? Yet that is a little bit sometimes how we treat our kids. It's like, what a stupid complaint. This works. All of our friends are using it. It works great. You're just being lazy. You don't really care. You're not implementing. You're not trying hard enough. What if we just stopped accusing the user of failure and just really hear them? Wow, that didn't work for you. I'm disappointed. I really thought it would. I gave my best heart and effort to that. You know, I researched. I tried it myself. Our best friends are using the same program. I was so sure you were going to love it. Ugh. Is there any way you'll give it a second chance? What could we try to make this less painful? I often used to say that to my kids, like, I know we got to do math, but I'm committed to pain-free math. What can we do to make this less painful? And that's when I came up with this joke, you know, add brownies, because one day I just added brownies. I was like, all right, I know math's a pain. Let's just eat brownies while we do math. And it helped. Didn't have to change any programs. Just had to get out the Duncan Hines, you know? So sometimes it's just actually acknowledging that the thing you're asking them to do isn't their top priority, isn't pleasurable for them, isn't the silver bullet. And validating their very real concerns. Yeah, I spent all this money on that program. It's killing me right now that you hate it. I was so sure you were going to like it. Now I feel like I wasted money and I've made you angry and I've turned you off to science. Ugh, what can we do about that? And then brainstorm together. Think about it. You know, are there other ways to use this program that we haven't considered? Should we just ignore the schedule and do it a different way? Give yourself permission to be unconventional. After all, you are a homeschooler. You're already an unconventional educator. You're already an unconventional person. Give yourself some room, you know, to try things, to explore, to experiment, to recruit other people's opinions into your work. And don't expect it all to work perfectly. I was thinking about universities the other day, how we just assume if a university has a decent rating and they're accredited and we know people whose kids have gone there, we assume that our kids are getting a good education. But do our kids like every class and every teacher they take? No. They're going to have some teachers they really don't like, some professors that really don't deliver. They're going to have some assignments that they really didn't like and that they didn't really want to do. But that doesn't make us hate the whole program. We still believe in the university to deliver the education. You got to think that way about your homeschool. Some days you are the professor your kids don't like. Sometimes the program you bought is the class they didn't really want to take. It's okay. Not everything has to be magical and perfect all the time. However, if a few things are magical and a few things feel perfect, that creates energy that then can be used for the stuff that the kids don't love. They can borrow off of happy energy. If there's no happy energy, if all of life is dull, dreary, hard, critical, no smile, no happy tone of voice, well, then, yeah, they're going to resist everything because life itself sucks, right? I mean, if the overarching feel in your house is unhappiness, it doesn't matter what program you buy. So feed into the good stuff. Give your kids good energy around the things they really love. Value their opinions. And then the stuff that's hard, just recognize that it's hard right now. You haven't quite figured it out yet. You're using the program, but it's not quite what you expected, or it doesn't work quite the way you thought it would, or it's not as compelling as you expected it to be. Well, maybe that's just where you are right now. Maybe you're still shifting paradigms. Maybe you're still understanding the ropes. Maybe you're living between two belief systems. You know, there's a difference between sort of the natural math programs and something like Saxon. And maybe you're trying to do both at the same time and you haven't quite decided yet which one you really believe in. And so both are a little flat. Neither of them is really working yet because you don't know what you believe. You know, you're not quite letting go of the side of the pool. Maybe the same with writing. You're using something really structured and something that is more open-hearted. And you're mad. You wanted this open-hearted thing to deliver what the structured thing is delivering. Or you wanted this structured thing to feel a little freer because you're a little nicer about it. But that doesn't work. You're still figuring out what you believe about writing. So of course, neither one feels like a comfortable fit yet because you haven't fully let go of the side of the pool. You're still afraid of drowning. You still aren't that strong. Well, that's okay. Just notice. Just notice. Just notice that's where you are. Give yourself permission to flounder, to grab the life raft, to swim back to the side of the pool. Do the thing that's comfortable, even if it's uninspired. Take smaller risks. swim only a few strokes and then go back to the side of the pool. Don't believe that it's all or nothing on either side. We spend so much time trying to be right, trying to be good. Overrated. It's better to be curious. It's better to promote happiness. It's better to toggle between two things while you are learning. You can toggle between the workbook that gives you security and the inspired ideas that give your imagination a burst of energy. It's okay. I have shared in the past that sometimes workbooks, the reason you have them is to fill time. It's not because you even believe in what they're teaching. It's just you have five kids. If you're going to read picture books to the toddlers, you need the older kids to have something to do occasionally. And a little stack of workbooks kind of buys you some time. You know, for Katrin, we used to always buy her spelling books at the grocery store because they were cheap. I did not believe in spelling books at all, but she didn't mind doing them and they bought me some time to work with the older kids. You hear what I'm saying? You can do that. It's okay to use something that you don't fully believe in if it's not really doing damage and it kills some time. I don't know about you, but filling time seems to be the biggest job as a parent. And oh my gosh, you've got 18 years of time to fill with your kids at home. You know, the days are long. You've got to think about what to do during the homeschool hours, what to do during lunch, what to do during rest, what to do before dinner, what to do after dinner. You're kind of just thinking, what the heck am I going to put in all these hours? And because that's true, not every single hour can live up to this fantasy that you're cultivating because you've watched all my videos. Some of it is just treading water. You're just trying to make sure your kids are busy and not dying. You know, I always say the two jobs of a parent is to fill time and to keep them alive. You know, just preventing death is a huge task as a parent. So don't worry so much. You know, don't be so hard on us. Don't be so hard on yourselves. Don't be so hard on that program. Give yourselves room to grow, to like some things, to dislike some things, to have your own opinions. Just because I say it, it isn't true. I say what's true according to Julie. But I look for all the other points of light, as George Herbert Walker Bush used to talk about. He always used to say that there were millions of points of light in our country. I feel that way about homeschool. Each of you is a point of light. I learn from reading your Instagram accounts and the messages you post for each other and the way that you talk to each other in our Facebook group. I learn from you. You're still homeschooling. I am not. So I'm sharing with you the remains of the day, the things I remember, the stuff that stood out, the struggles I had, but you're in the trenches with today's technology, today's crush of pressure, today's Instagram fantasy, right? You have a lot to combat and a ton of resources to weed through. To me, if you love on your kids, you read aloud, you do a little math, you do a little writing, you're good. Good. You get to the library, you go to the zoo once in a while, take a walk outside, you're good. I know you got to teach geometry. I know your kids have to learn fractions. I get it. You're too conscientious not to do those things. So I don't worry about those things. Those are the things you want to do. So do them. And then lots of cotton batting and rainbow around all the other stuff. Okay. Give yourself permission to be an expert on your family, your tolerance levels, what works for you. Sometimes I get such a kick. I'll be reading a discussion about one of my products on a Facebook group, usually ours, but sometimes another one. And I love it when somebody can say, well, that product didn't really work for me, but this one really did. And then somebody else says, really? Because I loved that product. This is how I used it. I'm like, these are confident women. They're saying the truth. They don't even worry about the fact that I'm reading it. What they're doing is they are drilling down into what's true for their homeschools. And you got to have some confidence to do that. And you got to trust that what you know today might even change tomorrow, and that's okay. If you're toggling between belief systems, then you're going to toggle in your convictions. which sounds antithetical to having a conviction, right? I mean, you want your convictions to like really be solid, but I don't know. You believe what you believe till you believe something new, till new information crashes the party and gives you something new to consider. That's a great day. I love it when something I thought I knew gets overturned or reimagined. I love that moment because it means I'm growing. And that's when I have the greatest opportunity to learn something. The other thing that you also want to remember is everything eventually becomes wallpaper. So whatever you've done, you know, if you're like a candle family, there will be a point at which candles are not magical because they become routine, just exactly what everyone expects of you. So recognize that things are not only seasonal, but they're also contingent on how much you've used them. I mean, if you had brownies every day, brownies are not special, right? We have a Brave Writer meme out there somewhere that says, fall is classical education, winter is Charlotte Mason, and spring is unschooling. Because you understand why, right? Like the fall feels different. You can put this level of committed energy into schedule and discipline that you would never feel in April. So you can give yourself permission to shift according to the energies of the seasons as well. You know, I always loved watching lots of movies during the winter because we were in Ohio and we were indoors. And that was just a great way to sort of connect with each other. But my gosh, in the spring, of course, we were going to go on walks and hikes and look at birds and visit the zoo because that's what you can do in the spring in Ohio. So remember that as well. You've got seasonal energy, you have family personality, you have the new shiny object of a great new idea you're chasing. You have the tried and true methods that you rely on to help you feel secure that you're actually homeschooling. You have workbooks you use to fill time that you don't care about. You have programs you've spent a fortune on that you really do care about and you're trying to implement well. All of that's true. That's what homeschool looks like day to day. Got it? All right.
That's it for today. I hope you found some ideas you can implement even this week. I'd love to hear from you. Follow me on Instagram at Julie Brave Writer, or you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Brave Writer. In the meantime, live honestly, write bravely. I'm Julie Bogart from Brave Writer.